Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnarltrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Generations, the History of America's Future. 1584 to 2069 is a nonfiction history and social theory book by Neil Howe and William Strauss that argues American history follows recurring generational cycles. Published in 1991, it presents a broad interpretation of the past by tracing how cohorts formed in similar eras develop shared attitudes that later shape public life, institutions, and crisis responses. The book is best known for introducing the Strauss-Howe generational framework, which divides history into four repeating turnings: high, awakening, unraveling, and crisis. It also describes four recurring generational archetypes: prophet, nomad, hero, and artist. Rather than treating generations as simple age groups, the authors use them as a way to explain long-term cultural and political change across centuries. The result is a provocative synthesis of American history, sociology, and forecasting that has influenced popular discussion of generations while also drawing criticism for its deterministic approach. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the book's central claim, American history moves in recurring secular cycles. The core argument of generations is that American history does not progress in a straight line, but in recurring cycles lasting roughly 80 to 100 years, often called a zoculum. Each cycle is shaped by the interaction between generations moving through childhood, young adulthood, midlife, and elderhood. The authors use this structure to explain why different eras develop distinct public moods, political habits, and institutional strengths. This cyclical model is the book's most distinctive feature because it reframes major events as part of a repeating historical rhythm rather than isolated accidents. The value of the approach is that it creates a long-range pattern for comparing colonial America, the founding era, the Civil War period, the Great Depression and World War II, and later 20th century change. The risk, however, is that the model can seem too neat, as if complex historical developments are being forced into a predetermined pattern. Even so, the book's main intellectual contribution is this large-scale historical lens, which aims to show how broad social moods recur as generations replace one another. Secondly, four generational archetypes explain how cohorts absorb and respond to history. A major idea in the book is that generations are not just chronological cohorts, but recurring archetypes shaped by the conditions of their formative years. Howe and Strauss identify four: prophet, nomad, hero, and artist. Each archetype is defined by a different social environment in childhood and a different adult role in society. Prophets are typically associated with moral vision and values-driven leadership, nomads with toughness and skepticism, heroes with collective action and institution building, and artists with adaptability and mediation. This framework is meant to explain why people born in the same era often share similar instincts about authority, risk, duty, and self-expression. The authors treat these patterns as social tendencies rather than fixed destinies, but the model still implies a strong relationship between birth timing and worldview. That is what made the book influential. It gave language for describing generational differences in a more systematic way than casual stereotypes. At the same time, the archetype model is controversial because it can compress a wide range of personal, class, racial, and cultural differences into a single generational identity. Thirdly, the four turnings map shifting public moods from stability to crisis and renewal. The book's turning structure is another key mechanism in its theory. A high is a period of institutional confidence and social conformity. An awakening is a time when people challenge established norms and seek personal or spiritual liberation. An unraveling is marked by weakening institutions, fragmentation, and rising individualism. And a crisis is a period of upheaval that forces national reconstruction. The authors use these turnings to explain how the same society can move from collective certainty to cultural rebellion, then to social drift, and finally to decisive confrontation. This framework gives the book its explanatory power because it links generational succession to larger changes in civic behavior, family life, politics, and public trust. It also helps the authors interpret why historical periods feel different, even when they are not defined only by wars or elections. The turning model is especially important because it connects private life cycles to public history children come of age in the mood created by the last turning, and their later adult behavior helps shape the next one. This is why the book is often read both as history and as a theory of social momentum. Fourthly, the book uses American history as a long sequence of generational biographies, rather than presenting history as a list of events. Generations organizes the American past as a chain of generational biographies beginning in 1584 and continuing toward the future. The authors argue that each generation inherits a social environment formed by the previous turning, then reacts to it in ways that influence the next era. This method allows them to connect early colonial settlement, the Revolutionary Era, the Civil War, the Progressive and New Deal periods, and late 20th century America into one interpretive narrative. The emphasis on biography matters because it shifts the focus from abstract institutions to lived experience. Childhood during scarcity, stability, rebellion, or crisis is treated as decisive in forming adult values. This helps explain why the book became influential outside academia. It offers a memorable way to think about social change through age cohorts and historical timing. The approach also supports prediction. Since the authors believe knowing where generations are in the cycle can suggest what kinds of political and cultural tensions are likely next. That predictive ambition is one reason the book has remained culturally visible long after publication. Lastly, its influence is broad, but its limits reflect the tension between pattern and complexity. Generations became important because it entered public discussion well beyond history bettersmiths. It helped popularize the language of boomers, Gen X, and millennials, and it influenced writers, consultants, marketers, and commentators looking for a framework to explain social change. The book was praised for its originality and for drawing attention to long-term historical repetition, but it has also been criticized for determinism and weak empirical support. Critics argue that the theory can underplay class, race, sex, religion, and other forces that also shape behavior. Others worry that labeling cohorts encourages overgeneralization and turns complex populations into simplistic stereotypes. This tension is central to understanding the book's place in its genre. It is not a neutral reference work, but a large interpretive argument about history. Readers who want a sweeping model of American development will find it intellectually stimulating, while readers who prefer cautious, data-driven social science may find it too confident. Its enduring distinction is that it offers a unified explanation for historical mood, generational identity, and civic crisis, even if that unification is precisely what makes it controversial. In conclusion, Generations is best suited for readers interested in American history, social theory, demography, political change, and the broad forces that shape public life over time. It rewards readers who enjoy big interpretive frameworks and who want to understand how cohorts can be linked to recurring patterns of cultural rebellion, institutional decay, and national crisis. The book is especially useful for historians, sociologists, policymakers, and general readers who want a single model for connecting family life, civic moods, and long-term historical change. What makes it stand out from many books on generations is its scale. It does not merely describe age groups or current social trends, but proposes a comprehensive cycle running across centuries. That ambition gives it unusual explanatory reach and also makes it more controversial than most works in the same field. Readers come away with a memorable vocabulary for thinking about turnings and archetype. Even if they do not fully accept the theory, its lasting value lies in its synthesis of narrative history, cultural observation, and long-range forecasting, which helped make generational analysis a major public conversation rather than a narrow academic topic. If you would like to support Neil Howe, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.